Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on being dead to sin and alive to God was recorded at our 2018 Atlanta Gospel Truth Conference. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's turn back over to Romans chapter 6. I covered two verses last night. I quoted 100, but we covered two here in Romans chapter 6. If you missed any of last night, I encourage you to please get that message. Jamie said it was good. Jamie doesn't give out compliments very often. So, man, I believe it was really good last night. Amen. So you ought to get that. Praise God. So anyway, I started off with Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul had taught on the grace of God so effectively that it led to this question. Can you just live in sin because God is not dealing with you based on your performance? And absolutely not. Verse 2 says, God forbid. No, that's not what he's saying, but that is a logical question. If the place that you go to church never preaches on the grace of God to such a degree that people think, well, man, can I just live in sin? Then you hadn't heard the gospel that Paul preached because he had to deal with this four different times. Anytime the true gospel is preached, people are going to say, you're giving a license to people for sin. No, that's not what grace is, but that's what people think when you start preaching about that God loves you because he is love and not because you are lovely. And so that is something you have to deal with. So he says, God forbid. And then he gives you the reason why you don't live in sin. Because how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And this is what I got stuck on talking about last night. Again, I'd encourage you to get that. Even if you heard it, you ought to get this and go back over it. You are dead to sin. You aren't dying to sin. You are dead. Past tense. It's done. You know, Dwayne Sheriff is a friend of mine, and he's one of the instructors in our Bible college. He's on my board of directors, and he travels with me to England every year and ministers. And he was teaching on this last June, and it was funny. He was talking about people believe that they are in the process of dying to sin. And he started going through the motions of what it's like to die. But then he says, no, you're dead. And he just died. He fell right on the platform. I'm not going to do that today, but he fell on the ground and he preached the rest of his message laying on the ground. It really made a point. But there is a difference between dying and dead. You are dead to sin. You aren't dying, you are dead. And I put that together with 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, where whosoever is born of God cannot commit sin. Cannot, not should not. Not does not, but cannot. It is impossible if you are born of God to commit sin. How do you understand that? Because in the same passage of Scripture, 1 John, it says, my little children, talking about Christians, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. In that same epistle, the Apostle John said that Christians can sin. And then yet he said, but whatsoever is born of God cannot sin. The way that you understand this is your spirit is the only part of you that is born of God. Your body is not born again. Your soul isn't saved. We will often use that terminology and says, man, I believe in being a soul winner. The scripture twice that I can mention, once in Daniel and once in Hebrews, talks about soul salvation. But that's talking about your emotional, mental part of you when you get delivered from depression, discouragement and stuff. But when you get born again, it's not your soul that gets saved. It's your spirit that gets born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. You can tell that's not talking about your body because your body doesn't instantly change. It's not talking about your mind and your emotions. Now, it's subject to change, but it doesn't instantly change. Your spirit is a part of you that's changed. So when this says that we are dead to sin, your born-again person is incapable of sin. And somebody says, well, but the problem is I still have that old nature. And people have described this like there's a white dog and a black dog inside of you, and they're constantly fighting one against another. And which one wins? The one that you feed the most. You got to feed your new nature instead of your old nature. I'm going to say some things to you here that are radical, things that you may not have heard before. Like, did you know that based on this passage of Scripture that Paul revealed that his father was one of the thieves on the cross? It says right here that his old man was crucified with Christ, amen. Radical stuff, amen. Look at this in verse 3. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." Now y'all quit laughing and listen to this. All right, verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." You know, the word baptism here, people get all weird with baptism and they always think of water baptism. The scripture mentions plural, many baptisms. For instance, over in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Let's quit laying the same foundation of baptisms," plural. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, "By one Spirit you were all baptized into the body of Christ." That's the Holy Spirit is the agent baptizing you into the body of Christ. But then John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3 and Luke chapter 3 that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So Jesus is now the baptizer and you are being baptized into the Holy Spirit. So those are two different baptisms. Then there's water baptism. So anyway, the point I'm making is when you use this word baptize, the word baptize is literally, it's a transliteration of a Greek word, baptizo. And the word baptize or baptizo literally means to submerge. And yet when the King James Bible was translated, they sprinkled. They didn't submerge people. So rather than translate something that would ruin their doctrines, they just transliterated it so that nobody really knew exactly what it meant. But you have to immerse a person to baptize them. For instance, it says Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water. I can guarantee you that wasn't some little baptismal font that he came up out of. He came out of the river. You can't baptize scripturally with just sprinkling. You gotta submerge a person. People say, "Do you believe in sprinkling or immersion?" I believe in just holding them under until they really repent, praise God. So this is just talking about that when you got born again, you were baptized into Christ's death. You were immersed in Christ's death. You became a part of Christ's death. And look at this in verse 4. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism." Again, this water baptism is a picture of this, but it is through the baptism by the Holy Spirit into Christ that this is talking about. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death," and verses 2, 3, and 4 say that we were baptized. So if you are born again, you have been planted in the likeness of his death. "If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Notice there's a colon there. This is not a period. It's not the end of the sentence. They made a verse division for the purpose of reference, and that's okay, but you've got to read it in its context. Read the entire statement in order to get this. "So we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection," knowing this. You manifesting the resurrection life of Jesus is dependent upon you knowing this. If you don't know this, you cannot release his resurrection power. So you have to know this, that our old man is crucified with him. And if you look all of these words up in the Greek and look at the aorist and all of these different tense and things like this, this is just talking about that our old man has been, it's already done, crucified. You are not dying to your old man. You are not in the process. You know, I was raised in a church that taught that you had to die to yourself daily. And some people say, well, isn't that scripture? Well, there is a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul said, I die daily. But if you read it in context, he was talking about people who were saying that there is no suffering in this life. And he says, man, what do you mean there's no suffering? I've been, you know, fought with beasts at Ephesus. I've been mocked. I've been stoned. I've had all of these. I die daily. That isn't talking about that he was dying to himself daily. It was talking about that he was facing death on a continual basis. And he goes on to say, if in this life we only have hope, we are of all men most miserable. He was talking about what Greg was preaching about heaven. And man, heaven is so great that it's worth all of the things that we have to endure in this life, because we're going to be compensated big time in heaven for anything that you put up with. He wasn't talking about that he died to himself daily. I was raised in this church that taught that you had to die to yourself daily. And honestly, I heard a message on this. And when I was a kid, I would imagine myself sitting in an electric chair. And every morning I'd get up and strap myself in, and I'd mention pride and unforgiveness, and I'd name all of my sins, and I'd strap myself in, oh Jesus, I just die to myself. I did that. I was taught to do that. It was a message that I heard. But you know what I was doing? I was resurrecting self every day. I was magnifying self. I was amplifying self. I was focused on self and thinking about how sorry and how ungodly I were. And basically, this is the way that most of religion is.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on Dead to Sin, Alive to God. This series was recorded at our 2018 Atlanta Gospel Truth Conference and includes three sessions taught by Greg Fritz. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM300 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area.
I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, many of you have been receiving through our radio broadcast for decades and yet have never become a part of what we're doing. It's not about just helping us, but this is helping us to reach out and touch other people to receive the same things that you've received. You know, there is a blessing on partners. In Philippians 4:19, where it says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That was Paul writing to his partners. There is a special blessing when you become a partner with a ministry. So I'd like to encourage you to check it out. You can go to awmi.net and check out partnership today.